Welcome to Made in the 80s, podcast about the 80s, things made in the 80s by people made in the 80s. I'm your host, Shalia. With me we have...
As always, Tim.
And...
Camden.
And our guest tonight is...
Tiffany.
Tiffany, welcome to Club South End.
Thank you.
You're a long-term resident of the South End.
I am. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we had the mayor here not long ago.
Ooh.
The mayor of the South End.
Yeah, mayor of the South End was okay. Here. So, I mean, this is the place to be. I'm so glad that you were here. You're finally here to hang out with us. Tonight, we are talking about a different location, a different neighborhood, but also maybe as famous, not quite as cool as the South End, but Elm Street and the nightmare that happened on it, a.k.a. Nightmare on Elm Street.
1984's A Nightmare on Elm Street, directed by Wes Craven. The start of a multi-film franchise involving one Freddy Krueger and countless children dying in their sleep.
Only
and
one.
Going to space.
And no, it was Jason.
Oh, I thought he fought Jason in space.
No, they fought on. They fought, and Freddy ended up killing Michelle. Not Michelle. Kelly Rowland.
Is this 5 years old? Are you spoiling?
No, Kelly Rowland. No, yes, yeah, full of 5 years. Kelly Rowland dies in favor of Jason. She gets stabbed.
Oh.
Yeah.
At least she got to be in it.
She got to be in it though. Yeah, but yeah, it's this is the start of the franchise. It was a really small budget of like under $2 million. It's they call who was this? Who did this film? New Line Cinema. They call New Line Cinema the house that Freddie built because it essentially saved the studio.
Is that kind of like the Blumhouse model?
Yes, very much so.
Can you explain what that is?
The model is we're gonna take some unknown actors. A very small budget, do this really interesting horror film, and then make a huge profit off of it. We saw it with Get Out. We saw it with...
What's the one that just came out?
Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
Made a bunch of money. They cost them pennies to make. We saw it with The Purge. We saw it with The Visit.
I mean, the model kind of started with, what do you call that? Paranormal Activity, right? Because those are like dirt cheap to make.
Is it always scary movies that
yes.
do it?
Yeah. Well, it's
because it's
mostly,
spiked.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it spiked early. Versus like the Warner Brothers model, which was the tentpole model they started, which was like, we're going to pour a bunch of money into Harry Potter, the Batman movies, a bunch of money for advertising, a bunch of money for production, and that's going to hopefully recoup 70% of our profits for the rest of our trash movies. So we can have movies that hit, that miss, because we know Black Panther's coming out and it's going to make us a bunch of money. Disney has done taken that model and like perfected it.
Disney prints money.
They print money. They perfected model, it between just... like the Star Wars stuff, the Marvel stuff, the Pixar stuff. It's kind of their thing. And Warner Brothers is still like, they're trying it, but they're failing miserably.
Well, they're also failing at their products.
Yeah.
So.
But anyway, so this model is specific to horror films because you can, the star oftentimes has their face covered, whether it be Scream, Michael Myers, Jason, Freddy.
Yeah.
So that's the star of the film. Mm-hmm. And you can cast us in the movie just to be faceless Black people getting murdered in the film. And right? But that's the movie.
The way you said that, faceless Black people being murdered in a movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's the model they would have. They would cast us all just to be running around and be stupid. We stay longer than we need to. Like, I always say all the time that, like, horror movies depend on people being stupid.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing. Like,
you and have an absence of cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
Until you get to Scream. Now, Scream was one of the first scary movies that I saw when it made sense to me. And they had, like, that one guy who knew every, like, all of the little hacks about it.
It was very meta, right?
He explains you better be a virgin and don't go upstairs and you should be going out the front door. And
right. We've had other movies like Cabin in the Woods.
Smarter
another
than that.
One that was, like, very... tongue-in-cheek about how they helped dealt with the horror franchise.
And then the next generation of our podcast, years from now in the 90s, I can watch Scream for the first time.
You've never seen it?
No.
Oh, man, you gotta watch it.
Kendon, you haven't seen Scream?
No. Well, it's every once in a while, you don't go to the theater, you don't see something, and then it keeps getting older and older. And you're like,
it was the reboot of the slasher films.
But there were many, like there was two,
West
three.
Craven as well.
Mm-hmm.
Scream was Wes Craven?
He reinvented it multiple times.
Wow.
Is it ironic that a guy who makes scary movies' last name is Craven?
It's perfect.
Okay.
Okay, I want to go back to what you said in the very beginning, which was one Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
How many movies do we have with Freddy Krueger?
Ooh.
Approximate. 10?
No, not 10.
5?
More than 5. 7.
Is it all played by the same person?
No.
Oh.
Because the reboot was, this is Freddy's played by Robert Englund, but the reboot was Jack Earl Haley.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was from Watchmen.
Yeah, Rorschach.
Rorschach.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Huh.
That's who plays.
He's little, though, isn't he?
He's a good Freddy. Yeah, you don't need Freddy to be big.
He's got knives on his hands.
And he's attacking kids.
Wolverine is small.
Yeah, and he can do whatever he wants.
Wolverine's like 5'2".
Yeah. Wolverine's a short guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the comics.
In the comics, he's tiny. He's got a bit of a Napoleon complex.
Oh. A bit.
A bit.
He's got a bit of an attitude problem.
Really?
So we want to set up this movie.
About. Tiffany, you are our guest. Mm-hmm. Could you give us a, you know, little summary of the plot and what this movie is about?
Yeah, so as I remember it, these, you know, real stand-up kids. They just, you know, kicking at the slumber party because old girl had a bad dream.
Okay, pause. Know. Good friends. Well, the boys suck, but like, I had a bad dream, sucks. Guys. I don't want to go to sleep tonight. Yeah, and the other one is like, morality sucks. Johnny Depp is a good boy, too. But we're good friends to be like, I'm really scared, kid, and my mom's at work. Can you hang out with me? I really appreciated that.
I did, too. Until. So she's getting her head bashed into the headboard, and it's like, girl, you weren't really trying to go to sleep. Let's just not play the role. Like, Tina, come on.
Yeah.
So. You know, they're doing their thing, they're keeping Tina safe until they're not. And, you know, my guy FK comes through, and it's been all bad ever since the demise of Tina. And unfortunately, her homegirl, what's her homegirl's name?
Nancy.
Our main character, Nancy. You know, she's had a rough couple of days, you know?
It is a rough couple of days.
Her home girl, you know, she's murked. And then her boyfriend is just kind of like, the whole movie. And she's tired and sleep deprived. And, you know, she starts looking real crazy. She gets the nice little, what do they do? The shock?
Mm-hmm.
What do you even call that?
The sleep study.
And the sleep study throws her into this whole situation, and she has the, like, Cruella de Vil happening thereafter. So,
Nancy's... Did she say she looks like she's 20?
Yeah, she does.
She does.
I look like I'm 20.
And it's
they're like, in high school.
They're in high school. What is she, like, 16?
Maybe? Probably.
Well, anyway, it just was a lot of bad decisions, one after the other. Oh, girl, Nancy sets out booby traps for Fred Krueger. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, what book? Like, when did you have time? Was it between, like, your homeboy getting murked? What's his name? You know I don't know his name.
Yeah, I don't know his name either.
Bad boy.
Tina's boyfriend's name is Rod.
So, Tina, boom, gone. Rod, boom, gone. She's just can't go to sleep. Scared to death, go to sleep. Now, the part that I never understood was the ending.
What about it?
Was so strange to me.
What did you get?
Okay, so she finally bosses up on Freddy, and it's just kind of like, you know what I realized, Freddy? You don't even really matter. And then she's thrown out of her nightmare. And
is
then.
She?
Well, then, there you go.
That's what you don't get?
That's the part. And I was like, so the mom is acting real strange. Like, I'm gonna just stop drinking forever. And it's like, girl, really?
Are we allowed to bring in subsequent movies?
Yes.
Answer to the question is in the next movie. Yeah. That's why I ask.
Okay. Yeah, that's the next movie.
And I didn't see the next movie, so maybe that will help.
Okay, then would you like to?
She's still in the dream. As far as I know.
Still in a dream.
Well, I thought it was kind of funny because it was like, all right, yeah, Freddy, you have no power over me. And then be like, wrong. Like, nope, you're wrong. Turns out. Nice try. No, that's not what happened.
What we're realizing in this film is that all Freddy's power exists in this dream world, right? So he can do what he pleases. And much like we were talking about It earlier, much like Pennywise and It, Freddy is a bit of a showman. So, he'd love to make you think that you, like, this is all a show. Like, when he kills Tina at the beginning, that's a show. When he kills Rod in the jail, that's a show.
Rod is a pompous part.
Yeah. He dipped out too.
So if you see your lady like flipping around like this and screaming
in the air,
help.
Yeah. Catch her.
Especially when she's in the air. But before that,
yeah,
it was too late by the time she was in the air.
But
she's on top of the ceiling.
The part I
we're 17 minutes into the movie.
It's definitely the claymation Freddy Krueger knife marks that we see. And it's supposed to be Tina getting slashed.
But at the time, this was horrifying, right? So one of the things you notice, so Freddy doesn't just flat out show up in your dream and kill you.
He kicks it with you.
He's trying to, like, whether it's the boiler room at the high school or whatever, right? It's all a play to get you sucked into this dream, and then he murders you. One thing I like about Wes Craven, and we saw the same thing with Scream, is the opening to this film, where it's Tina's first dream, is a short. Is that's a short horror film in itself.
Yeah.
You could just show that and be like, this girl had this crazy dream. She thinks this guy's chasing her dream. She wakes up. She's got scratch marks on her nightgown. That could be a horror story. The same opening with Scream could be a horror story.
It's kind of like the beginning of a Bond movie.
Yeah. But I think that's the brilliance of the film is these little vignettes could be little short horror films. But they all tie together to tell this larger story about a child murderer who was killed by a bunch of parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the kids are paying for the sins of their fathers. And so now he's coming back in their dreams and killing these kids for what their parents did.
Can you kind of explain?
And also because he likes killing kids.
He enjoys killing kids, child murder.
Can you explain to me what the timeline on that is? When did the parents kill him?
When they were kids, because they don't remember. They don't have any memory of it.
So,
but the mom does. She says we.
The kids don't.
So a bunch of kids got together and murdered
him. No.
A bunch of parents murdered him because he was killing children in the neighborhood.
Right.
But Nancy's dad is the one that kills him, right?
Yeah.
So it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was like a decade ago.
Yeah.
It's not that long.
So she was alive when all this happened.
Yes.
The main character.
So in the reboot with Jack Earl Haley, they do flashbacks to Freddy getting murdered. They chase him into like this, like industrial district that's empty. They lock him in. He locks himself in this room.
Mm-hmm.
He's making the glove with the knives and on his hand. He's getting it or something. And they burn him down in this place. And they think he's dead. And it's the kids don't remember. We sort of like vigilante justice,
mm-hmm.
right? Imagine the same.
It's absolutely vigilante justice. Yeah. That's the mom in this first movie. Mom explains it. Yeah. Like there's some kind of like issue with the warrant, and then so the case gets thrown out, and so he gets let out, and so the parents go and kill him because they can't. He gets out. Law can't stop him, so they do.
And then it comes back to haunt them. But we talked about it earlier, so it's loosely based. The idea that Wes Craven got was based on these young Asian men from like Laos who are having these sort of PTSD dreams and like dying in their sleep.
Right. So they were like stories in LA, right? Yeah. And they were coming over like refugees maybe.
Yeah, refugees.
And like having really bad dreams. And like you said that it was like not insomnia, but sleep deprivation. Like they weren't letting themselves sleep because they didn't want to fall asleep because they were having these bad dreams.
Yeah.
And then some of them dying when they were like asleep. So then being like, well, what is there more to it?
Yeah.
So that plus the other thing happening at the times is child molestations.
Child molestations. A lot. It was heavy in the news. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, Wes Craven names Freddy Krueger after one of his bullies when he was a kid.
Oh.
Childhood buddy. Like bully.
Childhood bully. Fred Krueger is his name.
Oh, that's sweet.
It was all particular down to like the color of the sweater.
Dang. Talking about comfort somebody.
So, one of our former guests, Angelo, watched this movie with Kendon and I when we were getting ready for this episode. And he was saying that the book it's like a lot of this is about good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
And that Wes Craven was the perfect director to choose at that time because he knows how to do good and evil. Like, you have these like juxtapositions of like, oh, innocent Nancy walking in the daylight with this like nice, you know, ambience, and then it goes straight to like crazy stuff's happening. And that Wes Craven was a great director for this film.
This is based on a book?
Yes.
Called A Nightmare on Elm Street?
I don't know what the book is called. The idea was like they picked Wes Craven because they knew he could do it right.
Well, did, yeah.
Yeah. And Disney was originally going to make this movie?
What?
But they wanted him to tone it down, and he decided not to.
Good.
It would have been a different film.
Oh, yeah.
It was like murder and blood. They were like, you gotta...
We were talking about that earlier, and I was like, he does look a little like an elf. Yeah. Like an evil elf coming
at you. Especially when he runs.
Well, and he's got that striped shirt like a Keebler elf.
I remember my first time, my first memory of this was like watching the commercial for it, and it scared my brother to death. Also, you know, my brother has since passed, but when we were in high school, he used to have night terrors. Have you ever known anyone to have night terrors?
Interesting.
You? Mm-hmm. Oh. No, not nightmares. Night terrors.
Oh, I had one night terror one time. Yeah, it was crazy.
Where he doesn't know he's asleep.
Right.
And he looks awake, but he's having a nightmare. It's absolutely frightening.
Yeah.
He used to have them all the time.
It's clear I'm asleep.
Huh?
It was chronic.
He had a few, four or five.
Was it terrifying? Was it more terrifying for him or you?
Oh, for us. He had no recollection. He doesn't
know what's happening. Yeah.
Sleep.
That's terrifying. No, I don't but have that.
Imagine, like, Kenan looks like he's awake, and he just starts screaming. Oh, no, that's the worst. You're like, why are you screaming?
Well, and then, like, Well, if you're, like, sleepwalking, I always heard the rule was, like, you don't wake them up.
Yes.
Why is that?
I don't know. That's really scary, too.
I love that movie.
We learned a lot from Step Brothers. I'm not Step Brothers.
That black dude's afro is clean, though.
Oh, I took a picture of this when I was watching. That guy's
afro is clean.
Yeah. So Nancy's in with school. The it's the day after Tina has been murdered.
She needs to not be there.
Right. Okay, it's kind of funny. She.
Mom, put down the bottle.
Yeah. And the school's acting like they're still being murdered.
Can we talk about the parents and the adults in this show?
The adults are terrible.
It's ridiculous.
The adults are terrible.
It's bad.
And they say some of the things, like, they kind of know better, but then not really. Like, Nancy, stop drinking all that coffee. But then letting her drink all the coffee and sending her to school. And then making her sleep when clearly she doesn't want to sleep.
Did they say earlier? She's
unsafe sleeping.
Are the parents separated?
Yes. The dad's not in the house.
He's a cop.
But they're not divorced.
I don't know.
Okay, I was trying to figure out the relationship there.
But this is similar to Fright Night, right? Like, if dad was at home and in the home, she might be a little safer. But instead, she's got useless, alcoholic mom.
And also, because she has to sleep.
Right. And also, similar to The Shining, a lot of the imagery is the same, right? Mm. These long hallways, these crazy visions are happening in this place that's supposed to be a safe space.
School.
I just think about the differences of, like, how this would go down present day versus right now. Because really, you're just teaching class as if, you know, nothing's really happened.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, so when they do the remake, what one of the guys did was...
Is this a new Nightmare?
Yeah, the new one. No, 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 no. Not, it was just a Nightmare on Elm Street, just a reboot.
Okay.
One of the kids starts looking up other people who've had similar incidents. So it's other kids talking about having these nightmares and describing Freddy Krueger. So it's like a whole Tumblr page of a bunch of kids, like, talking about it. Which is...
Like, updated.
Yeah. But that's what happened in 2017, which would be like... You'd find some weird Reddit page of people talking about these nightmares they've had.
But it would be even less credible, though, because that's what's going on on the internet already with creepypasta and all those different people just telling all types of stories.
But
if you start yelling into the internet about this sort of thing, nobody's gonna believe.
But think about it: if this was happening to you and you went someplace, you found a thread, and there were other people happening, you would feel less crazy.
I would feel less crazy. People may think
you're crazy, but you would be like, okay, I'm not the only one having these crazy nightmare, seeing the specific guy in a green and red sweater, fingernails, burnt face.
What do you mean, though? Because I don't think, I don't get Nancy feeling crazy. Like, Tina was very upfront from the beginning talking about her scary dream.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought it was funny, like, weird that you're talking about your dream this much. But Nancy's hearing her. So she does, I didn't get the impression that Nancy thought she was crazy.
No,
Nancy she seemed doesn't. To like be like, I know what's going on. The rest of you suck that you don't understand and you're not listening to me.
Yep.
But I don't, like, she didn't need more people to be experiencing it to be like, I feel less crazy. She needed more people to believe her.
Oh, no, no.
To help her.
No, I was talking about the reboot, though. The reboot, that's what they did.
It sets the tone for just making it seem like it's not just a singular experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh, word? Like, he's chasing you too? You grips? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes.
When you have that, it, like, to your point, builds community.
Right.
So then now you're looking at it like, oh, okay, so is it, do we defeat it together?
Right.
Is it,
yeah,
like,
what's next?
Am I on my own?
Which is what you see later on in the other Freddy movies, right, like the Dream Warriors one, where they get together. And they all, like, go on a dream together and try to fight him. Even the one thing that's specific about this one is Freddy doesn't have a lot of lines.
No, later he has a laugh, though. That laugh is iconic.
But later on, he's like, he's cracking jokes. He's got funny little puns. He's witty. In this one, he was just terrifying.
Well, he's just the villain. Whereas before, like, afterwards, it's like, ooh, character development.
This is the introduction.
Right. Yeah, exactly. How can we make Freddy lit? Because he's more of a comedian than anything.
But you know, like, his contemporaries in Murder, you know, Michael Myers and Jason didn't talk. But Freddy was allowed to talk and be intimidating and tell jokes. These other guys didn't have any lines. Jason never says a word. Michael Myers never says a word. But Freddy gets to talk.
Are the ones after this as scary?
No. The second one is weird.
Which one does he turn, like, put somebody in a roach motel?
Third one.
Yeah, it just turns into, like, dude. Gags.
Is this the black guy?
Which one does he get stuck in the waterbed? Because my parents had a waterbed. And I couldn't sleep in their bed ever again.
Second one?
It was so scary.
Why do I know this? I think it's the second one.
I've watched all of them. It was so scary.
Very impressed of your nightmare.
The second one was weird because it ends with a pool party. And, like, the pool water starts boiling. And Freddy comes out of one of the kids. He's, like, living inside of him. It's super weird.
Oh, it's probably just somebody trying to, at the board meeting, trying to one-up the last situation. But what if instead of her burning herself,
this was a
boiler
hit.
Room, it's right. Like, no, he boils out of the body.
Does he?
Oh, okay.
So does he ever, I don't understand, does he have actual physical presence?
In the dream world. Well.
So she seems to think that she can pull him out of
she pulls the dream world
because she pulls a hat out.
But can he exert, like, she has some sort of special power that it gets explained in later movies, as far as I understand. But
a new nightmare.
Yes.
Okay. But does he have any ability to manifest himself, or is it only her?
I mean, you see him. Okay, you see on the other side of the dream what's happening to the bodies that he's making happen. So to some extent, it's got to be happening in the physical world.
But that's kind of like him being a poltergeist almost, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on the film. Like, some of them, he's taken a physical form and allowed people to beat him. Mm-hmm. Others have beat him within the dream. Other people have taken control of their dreams while he's in them and made Freddy do weird stuff. Like, in Freddy vs. Jason, they pull Freddy out into the real world.
Mm-hmm. So most scary movies don't work on me because I don't believe, like, in the supernatural thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily believe in ghosts, but this actually scares me because, like, the way you're very vulnerable in your sleep.
Yeah.
When you're asleep, your dreams don't make sense. You don't have control over them. You can think that it's real for a while. Like if it's not necessarily a ghost, this still works as a terrifying scenario.
Because we've all had dreams that felt very real.
Or, so I had us pause earlier because I wanted to talk about the moment with Tina before she dies, she wakes up and looks out her window, right? And she already knows she's scared. And my first thought is, now, next thing we see is her coming out the front door of her house outside. And I'm like, why are you doing that? That's not safe. Like, you're already scared. Why are you doing that? And then remembering, oh, wait, you're in a dream. And in your dream, you can't control everything. You just pop from one place to another.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Inception. Like, you don't have control. You're doing stupid things and you know you're doing stupid things. Or you didn't even walk down the stairs. You just ended up on the ground floor and now you're walking outside and you did not choose to do that. It's very scary.
It reminds me of just that phrase people say is like, oh, now we're doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, now this is happening. And like your dream, like the events just, like why this race car, car race end up, I don't know, at a tea party. Like, and then somebody is, in his powers, he's popping up from place to place and I think him being like a dream monster works because you don't have to explain a lot of the rules because already we don't know the rules of dreams and it kind of helps, you know, like when you're watching a different sort of horror movie, you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, that doesn't make sense. There's a whole lot less of that in this.
Yeah. Okay. So we're 31 minutes into the film and I would like us to move towards the if you'll allow us to go, the whole Freddy is not just a child killer, he's actually a child molester. Mm-hmm. And that apparently in this film they decided to go with he's a killer, so he just kills kids. It was very clear to me that he's a child molester.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way he is touching these kids. And we're 31 minutes in.
Oh, yeah.
And this girl is in the bath with her legs spread and his hands coming up in a way that...
between her legs.
Is very obviously sexual. So that was... I wanted to point that out because I think it's obvious that he's a sex... Like, he's... Yeah. It's sexual. And he's, like, licking... Was it Tina that he's, like, licking and stuff? It was really gross.
Well, the tongue comes out the phone.
When he goes after the first girl, he climbs on top of her. He's, like, wrestling, like, all on top of her and stuff. I think it's very suggestive.
Yeah. So, I don't... I forget why you said that they decided not to make him a child molester.
There were a bunch of child molestation cases happening at the time, and they decided that it would be best if we just made him a child murderer instead of a child molester. But they don't... hide from that in the remake. They're like, he's a molester.
Yeah, you said in the reboot, it's like not ambiguous at all. No. It's just straight, he is. Oh, right, you said like, I think you said this, Tim, that they didn't want it to be like we're profiting off of this real stuff happening.
Okay, that's
which makes a lot of sense. Like, I appreciate that. That, I mean, this is really happening. Don't
be... Her mom is trash.
Yeah. Super trash.
She's the worst mom.
So,
yeah. She is a terrible mom.
One of the things I've really enjoyed about a lot of these movies we've been watching is the special effects. And in particular, this movie, like, the effects are really simple, but the type of story really works. Like, when she's sleeping in the friend's bed, and just the ceiling kind of pushes in the imprint, or like a hand is coming out of the bath. Like, they can do such simple tricks, and it works in the story, and it's really creepy. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, one of my favorite things about this.
Yeah, even
it was a lot of fun to watch.
Right, even early on when Tina's having her nightmare and you just see his shadow in the alley first before you see him.
Yeah.
You just see the hat and the figure, and you know he's turning the corner. And that's terrifying.
Oh, he also has, like, the really long arms.
Yeah, the long arms.
Which is such, like, a dream thing, right? Because it's, like, that just doesn't make sense.
I like those arms are too long. I was like, bruh, why are they the length of the entire alley?
I didn't
the width
start...
of the alley. Like, how?
Yeah.
How I didn't start laughing until he started running, though. Once he starts running, it kind of undoes it a little bit.
Yeah.
He
runs like a very awkwardly built mannequin. It's kind of funny.
Well, I mean, he is awkward.
It's like,
right? He's the kind of guy that would be awkward because that's why he picks on kids.
Well, I'm supposed to be afraid of you, and then you do that.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like,
why are you running like that, bro?
Yeah, I just want to observe real quick and just take a minute, but.
Yes.
Yeah. So
Freddy was he's an interesting villain. He's an interesting. And he's interesting in the sense of. Here's this guy who has this really interesting backstory, right? And because people were basically trying to do right by these kids, he is now dead, but now he's coming back and still terrorizing people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I don't know. Do you guys find that interesting at all, too? It's one of those things where it's like, well... It makes sense to me that they would do that. They try to go through the justice system. Justice did not prevail to their standards. And so it was like, all right, let's set my guy on fire.
Or why don't we just, like, watch him all the time and make sure he can't kill any more kids? And then he wouldn't be killing any more kids because they wouldn't have killed him.
But what if that was one of your kids? You probably would have a different bend on what you feel like.
I don't know.
So is he on
the It's like the Ides of March where he was... Where George Clooney is like, and I would go to jail. I would kill them and I would go to jail.
Yeah.
Because it would be the wrong thing to do. And the reason it's the wrong thing to do is because vigilante justice is not the right thing to do. Unless you're Black Panther.
Is he unambiguously guilty, though?
No, he's guilty.
That would be an interesting, like, twist.
Ooh.
If he was murdered.
Interesting.
And he wasn't guilty and he's now haunting them for being...
I don't know. It's going to be so loud. I'm so sorry. Please start it again.
That was a refill on podcast fuel happening over there. That's just that extra bit of, I guess, not ambiguity. Yeah, I guess ambiguity. Mm. If he, if you don't know specifically that he was, I mean, if you create a knife hand, you're probably guilty. But I think that would be an interesting aspect to a story.
I don't know. You had Edward Scissorhands. I don't know how he ended up with his hands being scissors. And talk about connections. Yeah. Johnny Depp is in this movie, and Johnny Depp is Edward Scissorhands.
But in Edward Scissorhands, the guy who created him gave him the hands.
Right.
Okay.
he didn't create the hands to kill the children.
No, if you have the motivation to create knife hands,
if you're you don't need those hands to kill little children. But, like, they have little necks. Like, you don't need those hands.
Yeah. Again,
that was so funny the way you said that.
Much like Pennywise the Clown, Freddy's a performer.
He's terrifying.
Yeah,
mean.
That's part of his performance.
Well, I mean, there's not a whole lot else to do in the afterlife,
like,
right?
Like, John
Wayne Gacy... No, we're talking pre. We're talking about him still alive.
But John Wayne Gacy could have easily killed these kids, right? But he dressed up as a clown and did clown parties. And he also would bring people to his house and do that weird little rope trick to tie them up. He could have just killed them. He would do this weird little rope trick to get them bound, and then he'd kill them. That was his act.
We don't know that he was a showman when he was alive. We only ever see him killing people after he's dead. And that might be his shtick. Now that he's an avenging ghost or whatever.
He did something to lure these kids in.
Yeah, but in this, he chases them around, he goes boogle and all this other stuff.
In the remake, he worked at a school.
Okay.
I think the remake is doing too much.
Because they go to a school and
it seems
find him.
It's not making you think at all. They're just like, this is it. I work at a school and I have a child molester.
And if he was,
I'm not impressed.
Give him access to kids.
New before movie, I'm not died, impressed.
If he did all of this stuff, he's a lot more likely to get caught running around in the alleys and stuff. Well, you can only pull that off once you're dead, once you're supernatural.
Right. So I think it would be really fun. In school, they do those scenarios or mock trials where it's debate this thing. And I remember we've definitely done Goldilocks and Three Bears. They should totally do Freddy Krueger. Because it is. I mean, the whole reason they do it is because evidence was bad and he got kicked out. Oh, I think the judge was corrupt or something. I think there was some issue with the judge as well. That's what the mom says.
I mean, Freddy Krueger is essentially about a neighborhood watch group gone wrong.
I like that.
And it comes back later on to haunt their kids. They thought they were doing the right thing. They did the wrong thing.
Sorry.
What? What?
I missed that one earlier. That was really scary.
What part?
Old girl in the bag.
Is she in a bag? Is that what that is? I'm so sorry.
Okay,
yeah,
so,
that's the same girl from earlier that was getting dragged through the hall at school.
Yeah, okay.
It was
that
really,
scared me.
Media journalism was so negligent. You saw the little bloody arm coming out the bag.
Yes.
And the mom had to rush and turn it off and censor it, and it just was...
I wondered about that. So after Tina dies, it's on the news, and we see that, and... I don't remember the news from the 80s. I was too young to really absorb it. Did they show stuff like that in the 80s on the news?
Probably. Doubt it.
I don't remember.
If it bleeds, it leads.
So, I have a question for you, Shalia, as someone who does not love horror films. What did you like about this movie?
Right now, I'm having to really focus away from the screen because I'm bothered because I know stuff's happening.
She just walked
Rod
up the
is being hung is what's happening.
No, she walked up the stairs. Rod doesn't get hung till later.
Oh, okay. So what I liked about this movie, which is hard because it's not there's the bad things in this movie. I mean, there's a lot of great pieces to it, but it's hard for me to see them because it's like clouded by the fear. I like that she figures it out from the beginning and she knows what's going on. And she's pretty on the nose until the end. And then I'm like, well, that was a stupid ass ending. You were wrong. And why would you think that you can just say that to him and you're fine? But aside from that, aside from the ending, Nancy got it. She paid attention to what was going on. She was a good friend to her friend Tina, who had a nightmare, and she was like, "Okay, I'll come here with you and make sure you're safe, and I'm gonna make my boyfriend come along, and because that's his duty too. He's gonna come take care of my friend because that's what we do." And then figures it out pretty quick. And if only the parents would listen to her, or the boyfriend wasn't such a fucking teenage boy who can't stay awake. Yeah, she would have got Freddy from the first movie, maybe.
Well, how do you defeat Freddy, though?
It's a good question.
I don't know.
Yeah, she couldn't have got him in this movie because we have no idea what his actual weakness is other than insomnia.
Mm-hmm. The only way to defeat him is by not going to sleep. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what if you go into your dream and you kill him in the dream?
How?
I don't know, chop him into a million little pieces and scatter them everywhere.
Dream world, or yes. does he have power in the dream world? If you can,
I didn't think he can't control dreams. Like, how do you end up with that power? What do you do? Well, how do you end up
with any of it? I think he made a deal with the devil or something like that.
I think control their dreams,
fully control everything.
Like, why would you dream about being in a boiler room?
Because she walked down there,
yeah.
When she's in class, she falls asleep.
No,
he can influence. Maybe he can put what the scene is, but I'm saying just because he can plant something in your mind, is he able to warp the dreams? You know, like in Inception, like what's Ellen Page's character's name?
Yeah, she's the architect.
Persephone, right? Mm-hmm. Like she can turn things and like structure the world. Mm-hmm. Does he have that sort of power, I guess, is...
I don't know.
So that, Nancy was my, I guess, Nancy being kind of a kick-ass until the very last scene. She's pretty awesome. So that was my favorite part of the movie.
And also, the ending is very reminiscent of the end of Friday the 13th, the first one. Where you think it's over, and then you think your hero gets away, and then they get one last comeuppance from the bad person, and then cut the credits.
You know what that's also like? That's why you
double tap.
Double tap. You know what else that's like? The end of Thriller.
Yes.
Which we'll be talking about next week.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was Nancy's my favorite part. Mm-hmm. Tiffany, do you have a favorite part of this movie?
A favorite part. So I try to stay away from scary movies.
What?
I do. They're terrifying to me, and I think it's not so much the older films, but the newer films, and that's what I grew up on. They're way more gory than mm-hmm. I think they really, like, there is no storyline, really. It's just a bunch of blood.
Slasher film versus, like, just, old school
like
horror.
Is this a slasher film, though?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Slasher, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, looking at this, it was interesting to see... strong female character, like, I really appreciated that. And I don't know if I necessarily have a favorite part, but there's definitely memorable parts, like, you know, the sleepover was interesting. I thought the whole dynamic was, like, I don't know if I would have thought to have done that, mm-hmm. or if the whole crew would have been down to come over and do that with me, just because I was afraid, so not really sure, but that stood out. This part, though, was kind of cold. Rod's funeral, and how basically when they're laying him to rest, my guy is basically like, hey, ashes to ashes, like, you reap what you sow. And I was just kind of thinking, well, no, live by the sword, die by the sword.
That's what he said.
And I was like, so.
Because they all thought he killed Tina.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, dang.
That's no so evidence. Sad.
Like, my guy's.
We know
he's innocent.
Also, it doesn't make sense because
he was hung.
He was hung. Did they think he hung himself?
Yeah.
Did they say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that doesn't even make sense.
Like, yeah, that's what I asked. Are they gonna see how long that is?
Yes.
No, I'm just saying the live by the sword, die by the sword means if you go attacking and killing people, somebody's gonna do it to you. Not that you commit suicide.
Well, maybe that's
a bad preacher there.
Well, maybe it's a flaw in the writing. Maybe it had the perspective that we had. Because we're seeing it from, Freddy did that. When really, they're thinking something else, right? They're thinking suicide.
Or that somebody else did it. Vigilante justice, because they have that in this town. So maybe Tina's mom did it. Meanwhile, the other option is, because it's a very good phrase for... thinking that, like, if you know he was murdered and you think that he murdered Tina or whatever, I don't know at what point in this movie she stops dreaming. I don't know that all of this couldn't be a dream for Nancy that she's experiencing. I mean, some of it seems real, but a lot of pieces of your dreams do seem real. Like maybe her real life mom isn't as worthless as the mom in the dream. Some of my most frustrating dreams are when things should happen one way and they don't. Like one that recurs often is volleyball, and I'm playing volleyball and the volleyball comes and I bump it. And no matter how I hit it, it goes behind me. Instead of going forward, it goes, or where I want it to go, the ball goes up and goes behind my head. Like, I can't get that to do the right thing. So I wonder sometimes, is this mom as useless in real life, or is she dreaming and this mom is useless in this dream? Just a question.
That's interesting. I'll say another part that really stood out definitely was the very end when she was setting all those booby traps.
Like,
I'm just like, she turned into a survivalist.
She's so tired. Like, she's trying anything.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to do this. She was great. It was like the inspiration for Home Alone. Yeah. That's what it was reminding me of.
And
that's the Disney version of this movie.
So
it felt out of place. It really did. So I was like, who has time to set all this? But
where did you learn all this from? Like, watching like Nickelodeon? Like, where do you get out? Where did she learn?
That's my point. Like, is there a book that she read that's like booby trap 101?
Here's how you do it.
Try it out, girl. Yeah. Just try it.
This is what you're going to do.
The perfect thing every time. Yeah. And I was really surprised.
And it turns Freddy into like a little silly character. He's like,
Yeah, I didn't like the stuff.
But then it was like, okay.
It changed into a different movie.
You set him on fire in the house that you're trapped behind bars in. So the house is going up in flames and nobody's really paying you any. That was another thing. Her dad was really just chilling, on the other side of the street.
There is like, a teenage girl murderer on the loose, and you're not like. I would expect you to be sitting in the room staring at her, making sure nobody gets around her.
You're investigating a gruesome murder across
the street. Her boyfriend.
It's.
How are you leaving her in the house? And why would the mom bar her in the house?
He was very unbothered. Like, it was insensitive at best. But I'm thinking, how negligent of a parent is this?
So negligent.
Well, especially an officer of the law. Like, I don't really know what he was. If he was a detective or the head police, whatever. Look, if my daughter is... like my ex or whoever is crazy as hell, locking them in the house, I'm gonna get you out first. I'm not gonna watch you as you're behind the bars watching your the crime scene of your boyfriend. I just thought that there were so many levels to the end of this.
And that's one thing that I loved about the film, that it was all of these tropes that we're used to, right? They've got the final girl, which is Nancy. She's the final girl, which is common in horror films.
Yeah.
They've got clueless parents and useless adults. They've got a horror mascot who runs around with a specific thing that he does that kills people. It's all these tropes that we've grown up on, and this is one of the starts of it, and one of the early horror movies to adopt it was like all of these silly tropes that were people having sex and dying.
Well, okay, let's talk about that. Tina, she's having sex with her boyfriend in her parents' bed.
Yeah.
In her parents' bed. Not in her own bed, in her parents' bed. Stop it.
Her mom's getting it in anyway. I think she minded.
Bothers me.
I don't think she had any issues.
Whoa.
Bothers me.
So because of that, she deserves to die?
I don't mean that, but...
Selena's going fundamentalist on
I'm her. Just saying, yes, it's don't extremely disrespectful. Your parents, so disrespectful.
Or else you'll get killed by a crazy psychopath in your sleep.
This just, ew.
But she was doing what teenagers do, which is disobey their parents. Very common thing.
It just really flipped for me, her character, because in the beginning, here you have this, I mean, she's dressed in all white, right. And she's holding the cross, and, you know, her mom is... you know, kind of the shady person.
Mm-hmm.
And then to cut to the next scene she's talking about, and then scene when they're sleeping over, and then for her to be getting smashed up by her boy. Well, okay, I guess my only point with the inconsistencies is in the beginning you feel really sorry for Tina because you kind of get the sense that she's this, like, piece of shit mom, and nobody's really paying attention to her. And then, you know, you get the sense that she has this really good support system with her friends. And then they kind of flip it to be like, oh, well, she's this, you know, bad teen because she's having sex in her parents' bed or whatever.
Right, dating this troublemaker.
Right, which
20-year-old.
It makes it seem as though they're trying to justify, like, the lack of her innocence, like, throughout the course of the little 5 minutes we meet her, justifies or just kind of sets the tone for why she's the one to get picked off first.
Yes.
It's victim blaming.
And I hate that. And I'm just like, right? I don't know if it's because she's the lady or like what the deal is. But I just found that very interesting how it was like the contrast of having Nancy who has all these plans and ideas and she just gets it from the jump, like to your point earlier. And then you have the complete opposite character in Tina. So I don't know, that was
absolutely right, because like, so again, Scream is the one that I remember explaining this to me.
Okay.
I assume it was talked about elsewhere too, but like the virgin is mm-hmm. the one, like the good moral virgin is the one that's like that lives mm-hmm. and like Tina is the example of no, the bad girl who has sex with her boyfriend in her parents' bed. So, yeah, of course she's the one who's going to die and not survive this movie. Yeah, it's too bad. But it is kind of messaging, too. Like, just be a really, really, really good girl.
Mm-hmm.
Also, be smart. That's what I don't think Nancy not having sex with her boyfriend is what got her out of this. I think, assuming she does get out of this,
yeah.
I think it's being smart.
I think you got those tropes from Cabin in the Woods. They explain it well.
I haven't seen Cabin in the Woods in a while.
They talk about like the virgin who lives mm-hmm. and the woman who sleeps around and the jock and the dumb guy and this pothead.
Tell me about back in what 1984 when this was coming out. Did we have those then or
the shows were real? I mean, you had them in.
Like, is this the beginning of it or did they already exist?
They existed. Okay. You had them in Halloween, which was 79.
78.
78.
Okay.
You had him in.
Is that the earliest one of those? That's kind of kicked off the whole. Yeah.
So this is still in the beginning phases.
It's still early phase of the genre and these type of movies. But yeah, those tropes were very much centered in like, because all you had to do was write a story around them. You already knew what characters were filling in. You just had to put in whatever little horror mascot you needed and then walk your characters through the story. And because of you have these archetypes already existing, you knew what paths they were going to take. You know Tina's going to sleep with her boyfriend in her parents' bed. You know Nancy's going to be the goody two-shoes kid. You know Rod's going to, he's the big strong guy, he's going to go out first. And you know the lovable boyfriend is going to die some tragic death. As you're watching right now, before Johnny Depp dies, so much blood in his room.
In his little crop top. He's just trying to watch the little television.
Yeah.
But he's clearly a football player. That skinny, skinny, skinny kid. Is he? What do you think he is? Quarterback?
He's a quarterback.
He's the quarterback.
Or wide receiver.
Okay, let's talk about, since we're talking about him, let's talk about Johnny Depp.
Yes.
Do we know him from anything before this?
No.
Is this his introduction to us?
No. Yeah, this is before 21 Jump Street.
So this is our first glimpse of Johnny Depp.
It says introducing Johnny Depp in the credits at the beginning.
Wow. Wow. Who would have thought?
He would be Jack Sparrow.
seven times.
I was ready to kill Jack Sparrow a long time ago.
So he reminded me in this. It's funny. I haven't seen. Well, one question I wanted to ask you guys is when do you last remember Johnny Depp being normal?
Oh. Because
in this, he's kind of just normal person.
Man.
That's a great question.
Before the Pirates movies.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. After that, he's been pretty much a different incarnation of Jack Sparrow.
Was it him in the movie where it was this widower and she had these two kids? And I believe the leading lady was Kate Winslet. And I don't know, was he normal in that movie? Anyone know what I'm talking about?
Finding Neverland?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think he was kind of normal in that.
Crybaby?
He's not normal in Crybaby. Although Crybaby was my favorite. It's on my top 10 of favorite movies ever.
Of course it is.
1990, so I think it's, I think it's eligible.
Yeah, I mean, he's always, not always, but he's played different types of roles, but then he swings back to, like, normal. But he hasn't, he has not played a normal, I think you know what I mean by normal, in a while.
The movie where he's an astronaut?
The Astronaut's Wife.
The Astronaut's Wife?
He's an alien, comes back from space.
Is he?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, like, in the astronaut's body.
Chocolat?
That's what I was going to say. Chocolat.
Yeah. That's a great film.
He could still show up in Chocolat. And he was convincing in that role.
Yeah.
So that was, I mean, we were in college. I want to say my sophomore year of college. So 02, 03?
Who does he?
01?
Who does he play in From Hell?
He plays,
is he the
Ichabod.
Ichabod? Mm-hmm.
From Hell's about, Sleepy Hollow.
No, that's
he's in Sleepy Hollow.
No, no. From Hell I liked is about Hollow. Jack the Ripper.
Well, do you think... I mean, so I guess the point is it's been a while since he's played normal. But okay, so watching this, though, do you know who he reminds me of? Like, really reminds me of for some reason in this movie? It's James Franco.
Yes.
Yeah?
I could see that.
I'm like, but I've never thought that before until watching this now.
Yeah. I see Franco being him in the reboot, being playing Johnny Depp character.
It's just, yeah, it's kind of funny. Yes?
Edit this in a few minutes, bro. He's in Platoon as well. I forgot about that. Okay.
That's is
it.
He?
All right, so JD. I still love him.
You do?
Yeah.
I can't.
I'm no, I mean, he pops up in good stuff. For a minute.
Yeah, I'm off him. I can't do it.
You can't swoop up your co-star just to beat her up. That's just
like
and leave your current family for your co-star to beat her up. There's just a lot of things.
You don't even need those preambles. You can't just be going and beating her up.
Correct.
all true.
Yeah.
So Depp, I mean, I'm just gonna.
They just throw him like. Hey,
can we do have like a pre versus post though? There are some people who are that way, like. Before they went bad, they were lovable, and I love that version of them.
And we all have our lines, right? And I think reading about his abuse was a line for me, for him specifically.
Well,
and I don't know if that's going to be the case for everyone else, but I remember reading it and being like, "This is horrible." And it wasn't just the abuse; it was the way they tried to shame Amber Heard. It was the way they tried to discredit her, and the way he tried to pretend nothing was happening, and then just pops up in the new Pirates movie. Like it's all Gucci. And it's like, bruh, you just put hands on her multiple times and then lied about it. If she didn't have the receipts, who knows what happens? He tried to play the look, I'm Johnny Depp. I'm lovable. Remember me? I'm Jack Sparrow.
And it turns out, no.
She had text messages. She had bruises. She had photos. She had
all of that. No. I thought she meant actual receipts.
Nah. Those kind of receipts. That's the abuse that happened because people came out immediately because they liked Johnny Depp, the character. Uh-huh. They came out defending him. Immediately.
Right. Right. Oh, and we just at about an hour and 7 minutes in, she's on the phone, and his tongue comes out and licks her on the face. That's nasty.
Very pedophile-y.
Very.
So anyways, that's what Johnny Depp thing. I don't, you know, that's the line for me. I'm sure maybe at some point I'm okay with it. I want to see Murder in the Orient Express.
The line crossing thing, it's like, I start to assume once I find out that this is a pattern of behavior. Because right now, we're having the whole Weinstein thing, and it's like, oh, well, when did he turn bad or whatever? It's something that's been going on for years.
Right.
So it retroactively taints somebody. Like, I don't know, maybe all of Johnny Depp's previous partners say he never put hands on him, but he's kind of guilty until proven innocent now for me.
I'm not going to spoil by naming it, but what is the, recently we heard someone say, it's not the first time they've done it, it's just the first time they got caught. You can kind of assume that for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we forget, though, Johnny Depp and the, like, Calvin Klein, Kate Winslet era.
Yes.
You know, that, he was abusing drugs, like, he was...
Yeah, trashing hotel rooms.
He was trashing hotel. And it just, like, got swept under the rug somehow.
Well, it was like he could always, like, yeah, it, literally sweep it under the rug and move on. Like, mm-hmm. it's there, you made a mess, and then we're going to clean it up and go to something else. Mm-hmm. Like, Shock a Lot.
Speaking of mess.
So Johnny Depp just got pulled into his bed, right? And this is another example of what I was saying. Like, it's not a complicated effect to just have a hole in the mattress and then, like, pull the sheets in. But it's really effective and really makes sense. Also, the blood flowing like that, do you think the room was just upside down?
Yeah, upside down. Yeah.
Okay, because it flows in such a way.
Like a fondue.
Like a fondue.
But like...
Johnny Fondue.
Yeah.
Blood fountain.
It's a blood fountain.
As she watches from the bars. It's just so
why
sad.
Don't go.
This is a mess because so many people outside that none of this would happen to her inside the house.
No, and okay, so Nancy gets home and Mom is useless, but not just useless, she's barred up the entire house.
Almost and like she's her on thing its is, side.
Yeah, and then she's like, you're going to sleep tonight. Like, that's her, like, thing.
Her punishment.
Yeah, and Nancy's like, okay, so I would have, I mean, if only Tina wasn't dead, she would have been so helpful. It would have been really helpful to Nancy to have a best friend to help her through all of this, to be like, yeah, let's get this guy. But instead, she's on her own, and she goes into that house. Sucks. Like, I would just not. Mm. I'd say, okay, Mom, I'll see you tomorrow. You can sleep. I'm going to go find somewhere not to sleep. I don't know where. Maybe the police station where my dad is. Stare at me and make sure I don't fall asleep.
Like, you saw the scientific ramifications of me going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, off the chart, Richter scale, like, whatever they were doing. You saw that, and you still wanted to go to sleep.
But, I mean, she can kind of be like, that's not a supernatural killer.
It's just your nightmare.
Yeah, you have some... But she also believes it's Freddy Krueger, right? Like, she...
Yeah, she
But she that. Knows it's Freddy. She tells her... No, well, she says, like, this is the story of Freddy, and so, see, he's dead. You don't have to worry about him. Fair that enough. Was her whole idea of, like...
He's not dead,
It's okay. Mom. He did all these terrible things. Now go to sleep.
I'm not buying that either, though, uh-uh. because at Rod's funeral, him and the... her mother and her father gave each other the eyes and were like, he's back type look. Do you guys remember that part?
Yeah.
And so it led me to believe that you don't even believe
right, so why are you...
what it is you're saying.
Exactly. Which is why you're drinking even more than probably usual.
Well, maybe
do you think he's ever visited them? No. Maybe? Like the mom or something?
I think they think maybe this is like a copycat killer.
No, in their dreams. He has power in dreams.
Yeah.
I got the impression that he can only get into kids' dreams.
Right.
And that's why Nancy is the like conduit to like
18 over.
Nancy 18? Is the way okay. It's only Peta dreams. Nancy's the conduit for him to get back at the dad because he's the one who killed him, and so he has to go through Nancy in order to get to the dad.
Nancy's over here making turn into Bell Grylls, making all these weapons.
She didn't even have the internet back then.
I know she was MacGyvering the heck out of stuff.
And this is terrifying in a similar way to another 1984 movie, The Terminator.
Yes.
Where, like, it's just time. Like, you have to fall asleep eventually. The Terminator just can keep coming after you. I mean, they defeat the Terminator, but it's kind of a similar thing. It's like
Do they defeat the Terminator?
Yeah, they defeat the Terminator. They don't defeat Skynet necessarily. It's just like one of the, like, there's horror movies where it's like, you can kill Jason, I guess. You can kill Jason, I don't know. But, like, you have to go to sleep eventually.
Like, all this stuff she's building, couldn't she have just figured out a way to get out the house?
No, she wants to bring him into the
room. She's trapping him. She's figuring out how to trap him. She can still get out the house right now.
Right.
Like, right? Because she goes and talks to the dad and is like, I'm going to do this. I need you to, like, meet me. Right.
Make sure you call me.
Yeah.
Time.
She's still choosing to be inside this house. If I remember right, the bars on the windows are to keep her boyfriend out. That's why the mom puts it at the bars on there.
He was sneaking through the window at the beginning of the movie.
Got it.
I'm shaking my head. Parents, man. Parents. I'm glad my parents always listened to me, even when I was crazy. They knew I was crazy, but they would communicate with me on a way of, like, I will still protect you. Like, okay, fine, you're afraid to go to sleep. Go to sleep, and I will be here. and I'll wake you up if something crazy is happening. All that's needed is wake me up.
Well, you know, the whole time Mom is saying one thing, where her nonverbals are telling us something different.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So it's like, oh, it's fine. Like, there's no issue. You're just tired. You just need sleep, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, she has the bottle in one hand.
She's just drinking from the bottle.
Yeah, like, she's...
Forget a cup.
Like, her whole wardrobe changes, her whole, like... appearance and everything, and it's just kind of like, girl, you don't believe what you're talking about.
Is she basically a secondary antagonist in this movie? Like, you could look at her as also being one of the bad guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, she's an enabler for Freddy in this movie.
Yeah.
She's being selfish. She doesn't want to listen to her daughter.
And she knows better. And, okay, this is kind of interesting to me, too, because, like, Tina is murdered. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. People think it was Rod that did it, but, like, this girl was, there was blood everywhere. So, like, why is school in session the next day? Why is Nancy just, like, business as usual? Why is the dad just kind of like, oh, why was she at the house?
Why wouldn't school be in?
No, she's dead. In your high school gets murdered.
She doesn't need to go to school, but I don't know that school would be.
That no one acknowledges the fact that she's murdered. No, none of the other
We don't even see her funeral. Have a funeral for Rod the next day after he's been hung, but there's no funeral for Tina. It's just like really fast. They're jumping back into like life.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree that she could take time off, but I also think that the school wouldn't have been going business as usual the next day. I don't believe that.
I think not nowadays that kind of murder. You might be right.
In a small town back then?
They're more sensitive about that sort of stuff now.
I don't know. It's a small town like that, I don't see her just sitting in class like, oh yeah, just another day, teacher's just teaching. Mom's just drinking and telling me to go to sleep and stop drinking. I mean, oh, can we talk about the 1984 version of Nodos? Bless you. So, like, pretty early on when Nancy's trying not to fall asleep, she finds, like, the stay-awake pills in the medicine cabinet. One, I'm wondering whose those are, because either they're hers and she just keeps them in there as a high school kid, or they're her mom's. I don't know why the mom would have them. It's kind of weird. But that was kind of funny. And then she's like thinking about how there used to be, there still are caffeine pills, but it's a lot harder these days. I think about it all the time where I wish I could just take my caffeine pills instead of having to drink another cup of coffee or another thing of Full Throttle or whatever. Like, let me take some Nodos and power through. I don't know why caffeine pills went away, but...
they're bad for
health risks.
I don't know why crack cocaine went away.
I mean, they're still around though. I don't know.
They're not good for you.
I mean, you're supposed to drink a lot of water. But I much prefer to take the pills and drink a lot of water than have to drink all of those energy drinks. I miss Nodos, basically. That and Vivarin. Vivarin used to help me.
I've only ever had one kind of borderline medically dangerous situation from trying to stay awake. I'll never forget, it was in college. I procrastinated on for two class assignments. It was the end of the term. I still had practice, which lasted 4 hours a day. I stayed up for 2 days straight and went to practice to finish those assignments off of two Sobeys adrenaline rush drinks. Do you even remember those?
Mm-hmm.
Like this orange soda version of the Sobe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess it mixed the energy drink aspect. I slept for 2 days after that.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Not good for you.
Probably should be here at this point.
Not good for you. I did used to, so Nightmare on Elm Street, watched it probably younger than I should have, considering I'm pretty gullible and believe in stuff like this. So had some real problems as a kid sleeping. And so I got over that. My poor, poor parents helped me get through that time of not being able to sleep. made it through, but one thing that I carried forward was practicing going days without sleeping. And being proud of, like, how far can I go? Like, many days can I go without sleeping just to, and it wouldn't be like, I'm going to do this all the time. It was like every once in a while I would do it to show them, like, not to show, but like to prove to myself that I could in case I needed to. So without having to like drink a lot of caffeine or whatever, just by staying up and like finding things to keep me awake, I would stay up for days. Just in case. It was like, training kind of. So if I ever had Freddy appear in a dream, I could last a few days.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why you did that.
Because I was afraid to fall asleep. Because I was afraid of Freddy coming at me in my dreams. Because this thing, like, this thing about Freddy is, like, this is so scary. Because you already have... like a serial killer murderer, which is really, really scary. And at least when you're having a nightmare, you can say it's just a dream. So the idea that if you die in your dream, you die in real life, like, it's, I don't know who wrote this, but it's the perfect catch. Like, there's no, like, oh, it's okay. You're just sleeping. You're just dreaming. Like, no, it's not. Yes. And speaking of who wrote it, so Kendon pointed out earlier, I think we during our break, that there was no book, apparently. So whatever, in terms of like fact-checking, whatever site or person or source I got the Wes Craven was picked to do this because the book is about good and evil and he's really good at that. Maybe someone said something like he wrote the book on this and I took it literally.
Yeah, or the screenplay.
Yeah, it could just be the screenplay. The story itself, obviously, there's a story. But yeah, no book is, per Kendon's fact check, as far as we're aware. Except that, didn't someone say this is a little Wes, like about Wes Craven?
Yeah.
You said about the bully. That was it though? Just the bully? And then you also said that like he picked the... So I thought Freddy's sweater was for Christmas, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Why? What?
And he said he picked those two colors because those are the two colors. I forgot the word he used. Just about like what the colors did to the eyes. So that's why he picked the colors red and green.
Yeah. So like red and green are opposites. Blue and orange.
No
blue and purple. I'm sorry. Orange and purple. Blue and yellow. No, that opposite.
No, red and green are opposites.
Yeah. Red and green are opposites. Orange and blue are opposites. Yellow and purple are opposites, on like the color wheel. Also, but people who are colorblind can't tell green and red apart.
Yeah.
So
they can't gangbang either.
What?
If you're colorblind.
I don't believe that.
How do you know what set you're with if you're colorblind?
Because you can see blue. So if it's not blue, you have a problem. Or vice versa.
That's okay. So.
What?
I mean, there's a high incidence of color blindness in men.
There is.
So.
Well, even without that, like, women see many more shades of red than men who do see color. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then.
Is that like a metaphor for women being angry?
I don't think so.
Like, I'm not touching that one.
I've seen shades of red.
Shades of red. Wait, what though? You can't gangbang if you are colorblind?
Yeah. You're going to be a Blood or a Crip. How would you know which one you're going to be?
Oh.
Because, I mean, that's not... I mean,
I didn't understand what you meant.
You said it's red-green that you can't see. So if you can see blue, it always works. It works on both sides.
If that's
sides.
The color you get to see.
Yeah.
So this is turning red right now.
Listen, how do you know? Am I red or am I green?
A flaming Freddy Krueger is pretty frightening. This dude, even... On flame, he is running full speed.
Oh, and then later you see his footprints. His flaming footprints. I liked that a lot.
I love how it was the fire suit mask.
Yeah, right.
Like, bruh, you didn't gain 60 pounds instantaneously.
He looked like he's on that weight.
But when she jumped out the window and then you could see the little pad beyond the bushes, I thought that was so funny.
There's a lot of this that's funny. A lot of comical points.
Superfly when, like, there's shooting scenes or somebody gets ran over by the car. It's like this Latino man with the afro. And then it switches back. And it's like, bruh.
No, my favorite is Terminator 2. Uh-huh. When the motorcycle goes up, goes into that water ravine. Mm-hmm. In front of the truck, and he's clearly not Arnold Schwarzenegger doing that jump. Like, big, wide face.
Here's the part with the footprints. The fiery footprints.
Like, let's Again, an easy effect to do. Daughter,
easy effect to do.
Let my daughter walk through that barefoot.
This is almost like a haunted house.
And not call in reinforcements. Hey, guys, I think Freddy we're upstairs.
And Freddy is on top of her mom, getting it in.
But how about... Mom, though, she, when she sunk into the... I was crying.
That's a very good wrestling chair shot.
Yeah.
I don't understand why the first thing the dad does is turn off the fire instead of pulling...
Mom. Okay, this is when it gets silly. Like, the mom, like, descends into the bed, like a grave. Into,
why does she put her arm up? Like, that indicates that she still has the ability to move.
What kind of mattress is that? That, like, sends you to heaven, apparently.
You think that's where she went?
I mean, it was the blue light.
She went down.
The blue light.
She went down. There's a rave in hell right now.
Maybe it was an express elevator.
Yeah. When you go to heaven, you elevate, right? You ascend.
Real question.
But the body goes down.
Yes.
No.
Her spirit, however.
Why would you get buried. Go down? You can go to heaven.
Yeah, but they're not burying her.
Do you sleep in that bed again?
Fuck no.
Never.
Absolutely not.
That bed gets tossed out the window.
The bed gets
only for having sex with your boyfriend. That's your parents' bed. You gotta have sex with your boyfriend in that, in this show.
It's a rule.
All right, here we are. Stupidest part of the movie.
Okay, she knows he's still around.
She knows he's still around. She sends her dad away for some reason.
She wants to be able to challenge him and say, boy? And then...
She did get real bossed up.
And then she realized she's boo-boo the fool. He's the one who got the one up on her.
It'd be awesome if she was right, but she's not. So,
like, you don't just have stupid. That realization.
Even getting to this bed effect is like super easy effect to do.
Well, I
love all of the effects on. I love these effects.
They do this on the bed a couple times, and it's a little bit like pitching a tent. It seems like again going to the child molester thing.
Yeah, he does like a penis
coming out of the sheet, and then like with the boyfriend too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's very
I'm not a Freddy Krueger. You don't own me.
That's what Nancy's saying right now.
Yeah.
Chicky.
Yeah.
I take back my power. Movie. Yeah.
You and your friends.
He's
and,
murdered your
and
friends.
And your family. Yeah. And your family.
He's murdered
your
everyone.
Your mom that just sunk into the bed. Into the hell club.
It just seems very... Like, she really jumped to this conclusion without a whole lot of evidence behind
it. At all.
Just like, I figured it out.
Yeah, but that's no. That's
you didn't figure out shit.
Yeah.
Like, you're still asleep. Like, you're actually about to die.
Yeah, that's quite the leap to be like, I figured this out. I just don't have to believe you anymore and you'll go away.
And then she comes out full makeup, refreshed, dewy skin.
Her hair done. First time her hair's done in a while.
And then mom is optimistic.
Wearing a...
All white.
Medical gown?
No, that's just some sexy stuff people wore in the 80s. That's lit.
That is
lit.
Not.
You go into a Pablo Escobar party, that's what you're
right. No, no.
That's a dress. If you put a belt on it, you'd think it looks normal.
Yes, but she doesn't have a belt on it. I know friends who wear that dress now. That dress is not it.
I love this. The ending is a great gift of her getting snatched through that little window.
It's
perfect.
Yeah.
We have any more questions for us?
Yes, I do. So, yes. Thank you, Tim, for keeping us on track.
I have something to do at midnight, and I have very little time left.
You're like, come on, guys. I have very little time.
I haven't started it
7 days of sleep. I haven't slept in seven days. Okay.
I'm up against the clock.
Have we all said what our favorite things are?
No.
I have. Who hasn't said?
Effects.
Kenden effects.
Just the Freddy look. His whole look was terrifying.
Yeah.
It was all frightening.
Better than a mask.
It's better than a mask. It's a burnt face.
Yeah.
He's still can emote, do these things. It gives a very human look to him instead of like being like there's no disconnect. He's a character behind a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And it was frightening. So Freddy's whole look got me.
Totally. Okay. So was this movie influential? I've already shared my sleeping stuff. So yes, it's influential for me. What about the rest of you?
I think it was the first scary movie that I really saw. Like, I saw it with my cousins. I remember, because it was the latest I remember ever staying up. It was like 3 in the morning I saw this, and it was terrifying to me.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
What a fun combination.
When I say it this, I think it was one of the first 3 of these movies.
Yeah.
But, I mean, probably like 3rd or 4th grade.
Yeah.
It's the right age.
Yeah.
I was probably in middle school. I think I was in middle school. Tim?
Yeah, I'm a horror buff, and because of movies like this, and I saw it way too early. Like,
how old were you when you saw this?
Man, I had it been like, this came out, I was like 6, I was like 7, 8. But yeah, but I
consumed. Did you even understand it at that age?
I knew what fear was.
Yeah. You were very familiar with that one, huh? Yep.
Did you get your own fear, or you understood the fear of the characters?
My own fear of like, someone coming to kill you. Like, you can, no matter what language it's in, like, right, I can translate that the characters are afraid.
They say fear is infectious.
Mm-hmm. And so I got all of that. As I get older, different parts of the story make more sense. Like, how incompetent the parents are, how crazy Tina is, how, like, we just talked about, like, Tiffany just mentioned, like, how Nancy just sort of comes up with this, solves this mystery, like, randomly, and then becomes a survivalist all of a sudden and puts booby traps around her house like Macaulay Culkin. Like, all that stuff came later in life, but as a young child, it was watching people being afraid of being murdered by something they couldn't stop was terrifying.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Well, that is the movie.
Wait, you didn't ask anyone else what was influential to them.
Kendon, do you consider this influential?
Oh, I answered that. It was like the first scary movie that I remember.
Tiffany, was this influential to you?
So, yes. Because, and this sounds crazy, like, it's crazy in my head.
Yes.
It was so reminiscent of all the spoofs I've seen of every scary movie ever.
Yes.
All wrapped into one, and without trying to be a spoof, like, this was really terrifying to people. Like, people spent their $1.30 at the theaters, or however much they were paying at the time, to be terrified of this thing that I find kind of hilarious. And other people looking back at it now, you know, with the evolution of horror films, or depending on how you want to look at it, but it's like, now that we have all these effects and all these things to lend to the actual, like, horror of it all, this was just pure, like, let's make this movie, let's have these actors, let's like get this claymation effect and all of these things so that people can later make fun of it. And I think it's just kind of it's interesting how with technology we kind of lose the rawness of
movies.
So I'm gonna have now a semi recurring question then.
Okay.
For stuff like this. In what environment did all of us watch this movie?
At home.
You watched it at home? What time of day? On what screen?
It was the night. I was a kid. It was
Oh, did you watch it directly previous to this?
This?
Yeah.
When I recently watched it the other day? At night on the laptop.
So I watched it during the day on the TV. You watched it on a laptop.
Yeah.
So a small screen.
Yeah.
You're in a ton of control there, right?
Yeah.
Not in a dark theater with like, a bunch of people who are also jumpy.
Yeah.
How did you watch it?
I was at home in my living room at night just watching it.
Lights on or off?
On.
Yeah.
And
were you looking at your phone?
No, I was cooking
too. Yeah.
Like, I was multitasking.
So, a lot of this stuff that is kind of cheesy, I think, is not helped by the fact that we have a lot more control over how we look at it and our ability to stop it and what the environment is. So I wonder if the very first time you saw this, if you watched it in a dark theater, if it would have a lot more of an impact on you.
Yeah, even back then, like, they made these movies specifically for you to be watching them in that exact environment, on a big screen, in a theater. So all the effects, everything that goes into it is meant for you to see it in a specific environment.
Yeah.
I look at that now, too, because I just went to the movies. I saw the Jackie Chan movie, and it was very dark and ominous. And I really, like, I was kind of looking around in a little bit of paranoia because there were so many things happening around me. Like, this gentleman kept getting up to get extra food or whatever, or going to the bathroom. The security kept walking by, and it was just all of these things kind of, it wasn't meant to be scary, but it's psychological a little bit.
Yeah.
To where I was tripping out. So I could see that parallel for sure. And I appreciate that comment too, because we do live in a time where we do have a lot of access and we do have a lot of control. And I don't know, does that take away from the experience and how it was meant to be shown?
Absolutely. I would definitely say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. When it's like, you don't know what's coming. It's, it's happening to you versus you're watching it on the side through, you know, is why if you're really scared of these things, you don't watch them in a theater. You watch them in the daylight in with lights on and with friends, like to kind of temper what it could be and versus then, the scary conditions.
Yeah, the parodies and the fact that you know that he becomes a joke at some point. Mm-hmm. Like this was playing it straight the first time this came mm-hmm. out without any of the subsequent stuff. Mm-hmm. This was just a straight up, you know, horror movie about a killer that comes into your dreams. You don't know that he's going to go and fight Jason or any of these other mm-hmm. silly things.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Hell of a movie.
Yeah, hell of a movie.
They did a great job with the times and with the budget and trying to figure all that out.
Yes.
Because clearly, I mean, we're still talking about it. It's yeah. still something that's relevant
yeah.
in cinema.
It is. It really genre. Is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. That's Nightmare on Elm Street. Well, apparently.
For thanks for coming.
Yeah.
You got to come back.
Club South End, you're invited anytime you want, Tiffany. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being our guest. We've been excited to have you over, so we're glad that you were interested in watching this movie with us.
For Spooky October.
Yes, Spooky October. This is Tim's idea, by the way, everyone. I've been saying Spooky October for lots of episodes now.
It's catchy, I like it.
Yes. Yes, it is.
All right, if you're enjoying listening to Made in the 80s, send us some reviews. Tell everyone how much you like us. If there's things we can work on, send us an email at mit80s.podcast@gmail.com. And hopefully you've thought about your Halloween costume by now. We've got a little time left, but if you haven't, watch Nightmare on Elm Street and you'll get some good ideas. Bye.